Well, vacations are for relaxation, for replenishment, refreshing. Yes? Yes? All right. So we went on one. Decided we were going to go on the Intercoastal Waterway, had a pontoon boat, and we were going to spend the night. Well, the afternoon was just incredibly great. The wind was blowing, the breeze was nice, it wasn't that hot. Got the camp set up, things were going great. Until it got dark, the wind stopped blowing and the mosquitoes came out. I'm not talking about a few mosquitoes. I mean, we're in the book of Exodus, you know. I'm talking about plagues. And I'm talking about it was hot summertime, so much so until you couldn't go out, have two little girls, one big girl, two little girls. So now you have to revert to cups. That's all I'll say about that. But if those of you had kids, you understand what I mean. I mean, you couldn't go out of the tent. I mean, it was a terrible night. But morning's coming, yes? And it does. And when I look outside the tent, what I see is that the boat which we parked on the shore is now about 150 yards that way. And everything's dry because the tide's out. Well, we wait for the tide to come. Then tide comes in, right? I mean, every day, in and out, tide comes in. Tide comes in, we get in the boat to leave, the battery's dead. Wonderful, great day. Can you imagine Moses? I mean, he was at the top, tried to do something good, ended up now in the wilderness, got everything settled down, and all of a sudden, on this ordinary, just regular old day, God shows up again, this time in a burning bush. And he says to Moses, I want you to go let my people go. I want you to just go set them free. I've tried that. It don't work. You got the wrong man, God. Anybody ever said that? Has anybody here ever said to God, you got the wrong person? Anybody ever said, God, somebody else has got to do this. I am not the one for this. How many of you did God say, okay, I agree with you when you said that? No, he keeps right on. He does that with Moses. Keeps right on. All right, let's go. You're not a man. Yes, you are a man. I want you to go. I want you to set him free. No, I'm not doing that. I can't do that. Moses, throw your stick down. Throw your stick down. Turn into a snake. Now pick it up. How long do you think that moment was? Throw the rod down. It becomes a stick, yes? God says pick it up. How long before he does it? What'd you say?
I said a
couple seconds.
Couple seconds.
What'd you say, God? Pick the snake up. No. Picking a snake up. I don't know. I'm guessing 30 minutes, 45, an hour. How long would it take you? You know, grab the snake. Turns back into a rod. Okay, God, you're making progress with me. I'm taking this journey. Finally, he gets him all the way. Okay, I'll do it. I'm going to go set him free. But if I go set him free, who do I tell him you are? Remember, it's a polytheistic system, all kind of gods. Which one are you? And that's where we pick up in Exodus 3. And then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What do I say? And God said to Moses, well, tell him I am who I am. Who is who you is. Everybody is that. Tell them that the children of Israel that I am has sent you. You is what? I mean, can you imagine Moses trying to figure this out? Then God says, I scratched that. Don't worry about that. Verse 15. You just tell the children of Israel that the Lord your God, your father of Abraham, Isaac, and the God of Jacob sent you, that this is my name forever and a memorial to all the generations. I mean, tell them I am who sent you. I am that I am. No, don't worry about that. Tell them that I'm... More confusing by the moment. What's interesting... If you run this to chapter 3, let's run to chapter 6. In chapter 6 and verse 2, and God spoke to Moses and said, I am the Lord. I appear to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as who? God what? on mine. But my name, Lord, I was not known to them by. We'll talk more about that in a moment, but here's the idea. That we're in the second book of the Bible. God started revealing himself in the book of Genesis. And you'll find a lot of the L's in Genesis, and again, we'll talk about that in a moment. El Shaddai, is God all-powerful, El God Almighty, God the provider. He's like he's a diamond, and he starts showing different facets of God, who he is. Now we come to the second book of the Bible, Exodus, and all of a sudden now God says, I was known by this, I was known by this, I was known by this, but now I want to let you know that I am all of those, but I am more than those. I am powerful, but I'm more than powerful. I have not revealed this yet until Exodus. And this is an opportunity of not only to free God's people, but for God to show him who he really is. The word that's used here that he talks about, I am that I am, is a word that is really, it really is indefinable. In other words, God is saying, I am too big for you to know who I am. It's I am that I am, like it's past, present, and future. But if you use the concept past, present, and future, that's still short-circuited because it sounds like God's moving through time, when in fact, what it really means is God is past, still past, he is still present, and he is still future, all at one time. He has created the earth, but he's outside of the earth. He's bigger than anything that he's created. The nice thing about him being past, present, and future, and the most wonderful times that I've had in ministry have been the times of praying and ministering to somebody. And because I know God is in the past, he's not past, he is there. He's still there. And he can go into any moment where any damage was done, any violation happened, and he's just present in that moment. And the most wonderful thing has been watching people as God slides his hands around a heart that was broken and shattered back in time. And now for that to become present and God to heal and restore that person. I am all this, but that creates a problem. Because God is showing how big he is. He is eternal, but he's more than eternal. He's bigger than... Let me give you this analogy. How many of you ever played Monopoly? Okay. Imagine with me a little conversation going on between the hat and the shoe, okay? The hat and the shoe. The hat says, do you believe in Parker? The shoe says, what do you mean, Parker? Hat says, well, you know, I've been from one side of this board to the other. I've been all around it, pass, go. I mean, I've collected $200. I've been everywhere, and I have never, ever yet seen Parker. If he would exist, I would have bumped into him, don't you think? She said, stupid. Parker made the board. Parker's not on the board. He's not a part of the board. Parker is the creator of the board. I am that I am. I'm not in the world. I'm greater than the world. I am everything. And yet, the problem, because if he is that big, he begins to feel unapproachable, unknowable. If he's indefinable, how can you know him? I mean, if he's greater than great, what? And that's the reason he made the next statement. Tell them that I am that I am. Nope, what? Time out. But tell them I had a relationship with their granddad. Tell them that I walked with Abraham. Tell them that I talked with Jacob. Tell them that I had a relationship with these people. And both are true. Don't let the one greatness throw you off because I am a relatable God. And I want to relate to you. And that's the reason I have come down. Because I've come down because I've seen my people. And I want to relate to them. I tell them that I'm the God of their forefathers. I was there in the beginning. I walked with them and talked with them. I watched when Abraham had Isaac and took him to the mountain to sacrifice. I was there when Jacob laid his head on a rock and saw a ladder to heaven. I was there when Joseph went into Egypt. I kept my hand on him. I protected him while he was in prison. I gave him the strength to overcome the temptation. I was there. I am both, Moses. I'm both. Oh, God. All right, here we go again. It's roller coaster. All right, I'll do it. You got me. I'm headed in there. All right, Sapphira, let's go. Grab the two boys. They're on their way to Egypt. Now, I'm just going to mention this, drop it, and move on, not say a whole lot about it. But I would encourage you to look it up and get some understanding for yourself. Because they're on their way to Egypt. God shows up and meets them. And the Bible says that God sets out to kill Moses. How many of you know when God sets out to kill you, that's a bad day? Apparently, the covenant with the Jews, the circumcision was a huge thing. I mean, it was a sign of the covenant. And for whatever reason, Moses had not done that to his kids. I don't know if Zipporah, if he got the flint out one day, and Zipporah said, what are you going to do? You going to do what to my boys? No, you're not going to do that to my boys. We don't know. Or whether it was Abraham who said, I'm not doing that. Whatever reason it was, they hit this conflict. Because in order to do the next thing, sometimes you've got to do one thing that has not been done. In order to step into your promised land and to become who God's called you to become, there's something that has been the corner that's just been neglected. It's got to be dealt with before you go. Can I just drop this quick and run? Because I don't want to hang a left here. Zipporah herself picked up the flint, circumcised the boys, then took the meat and threw it at his feet and said, Abraham, you're a barbarian man. You're a bloody man. But it was Zipporah that did it. We don't know the meeting with Abraham, why he couldn't do it. Was he sick? Was he about to die? Is that how God was going to kill him? It doesn't say. But he may have been incapacitated where he couldn't, and she may have said today, just quick insert and I'm moving. You need to learn to listen to your mate. You need to learn to have input from each other. Sometimes advice that comes in can save your life. Sometimes it can be her, sir, who you need to listen to and say, tell me the truth. Because she may have the very words and the very understanding that will change your life and that deal with, listen, and that will deal with the one thing you have never dealt with. But she knows. He knows. Okay, can I leave that and move on? Is that enough? Somebody said, I wish to goodness you would move on. All right. He goes, gets to Egypt. And now he's ready for this thing. Gets all the leaders together and said, all right, here, I'm here's who I am, and here's Aaron, and we've come, and God said he's going to set you free. We don't believe you. Throw the rod down, Aaron. Aaron throws the rod down and turns into a snake, picks the snake up and turns back into a rod, and they go, wow, this is real. He says, yeah, take your hand, put it in your coat, put a hand in his coat, and came out leprosy. He said, wow, do it again. Came out right. This is the real deal. God's at work here. They are all excited. And then old Moses walks into Pharaoh's court. I love this. Ah, let my people go, God said. Why? God said so. What are y'all going to do? We can go out and worship, have a couple of days. We'll have a little revival for 3 days. You mean to tell me that they can take off 3 days and go to work and go out and have a revival? You know what that tells me, Moses? That tells me that if they got 3 days to do that, then they're not working hard enough. So you know, they said we supplied the straw for them to make the brick. If they got time to go out and do all this, we're going to not supply the straw and let them get their own straw to make the brick and yet keep the quota of brick exactly where it is. Because you can't make brick without straw. If you make brick without straw and it rains, then everything just dissipates and goes away. You got to have the straw to hold the brick together. But now you get your own straw. Now Moses, God had told him at the bush, Pharaoh is not going to respond. So he knew that. But he wasn't ready for this next part. For the next part, they said this. Next part, it says this. The leaders turned on Moses and said to Moses, they didn't like us anyway. We were slaves. But now we are stench in their nostrils. Pharaoh looks at us, turned his nose up. You have made things worse. And then they said this to Moses. I wish you'd have never shown up. We have any leaders here? We have any business owners? We have any people who tried to make things better and it hadn't worked out and you wish they did, but nobody else understood? Huh? And everybody looks at you and says, you sorry son of a gun. I was just trying to do good. I was trying to help. Then they say to Moses, get out of here. Now Moses is, you think he's up or you think he's down just now? He's down now. And he goes to God in Exodus 5 and says this. So Moses returned to the Lord. I can't tell you how many times I've done that. How many of you have ever had things happen and you go back to God and say, what is going on? Would you please tell me? I mean, I thought this, but this. He returned to the Lord and said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on these people? Why is it that you sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in whose name? Whose fault is this? In your name, he has done evil to these people. Now watch this. Neither have you delivered your people at all. And God, by the way, you hadn't done anything. How many of you have ever had your kids to have a meltdown when they were small? No, and I'll tell you what, no. Everybody lift your hands. You've seen a child have a meltdown, all right? Now look at them because their children melted down, all right? Not yours. You know, and they can melt down anywhere about anything. Any time, thank you. Just a meltdown. And that's kind of what I pictured happening. Is Moses has had this meltdown. Now, if you're a parent, you know what the deal is. When the more radical they get, the calmer you get. The more they melt down, the more logical you get. What you don't want to do is get in the game with them. You don't want to melt down to melt down. No. You're the parent. They're the child, right? So I can see Moses in this meltdown. And I can see God says, Moses, my dad used to do this so well. He used to do this good. Boy. My name's Mike. Right now it's just boy. Boy, we gotta talk. Oh, we do? Oh, yeah, we got to talk. I've got to remind you of a few things. Son, I need to remind you that I'm your dad. I brought you into this world. I need to remind you that you're a child and that I'm an adult. I need to remind you that I'm the one who created you. You didn't create me. I need to remind you, Moses, of what I've promised. And I've never, never not delivered on my promises. Calm down, Moses. I need to remind you of something. I'm God. And what I tell you I'll do, I'll do. I need to remind you. Moses, calm down. I am not on your timetable. You're on mine. He gets calmer. Oh, things have changed some. But that's all a part of my plan. I mean, after all, Moses, come, work with me a little bit. The whole backbone of the economy of the whole Egyptian people was on the back of the slaves, several million of them. What were you expecting to do? To walk in and to say, I want to bust your economy altogether. You know, we're going to take all the slaves. We're going to leave and you have to do it for yourself. All right, everybody, come on. And Pharaoh says, here, let me give you a popsicle on the way out. I mean, what did you think? Look at him. Look at Exodus 6. And then the Lord told Moses, now you will see what? You know, I think Moses in the beginning when God said, I want you to go down, I think he thought that God wanted him to free the people. All God needed was a voice. I think that's why he said no earlier. And I think he had shifted around here again and thought he had failed because the people weren't free and God reminding him saying, who's going to do this? I will do to Pharaoh. I don't need you. I will do it. When he feels the force of my strong, what? What kind of hand has God got? Strong. What kind of hand has God got? Strong. That reminds me of my dad too. Now watch this. He'll let people go. Does that seem like God's word to you? He will let them, in fact, not only will he let them go, he will force them to leave the land. How many of you ever had somebody at your house visiting you and you were ready for them to leave before they were? That's what this is saying. What it's saying here is that God says, Pharaoh is going to say, oh, I know you got to go to bed. I know you got to get home. He is going to, now listen to the contrast. Not only is he just going to let you leave, he's going to want you to leave. That's what I know, Moses. That's what you don't know. And you need to be reminded, boy, I'm God and you're not. My strong hand, not yours. Verse 2 said, God said to Moses, I am Yahweh, the Lord. Now this, I won't take time to go into this, but this is a part of the Hebrew where they didn't put the whole word God out of a sacred thing. And so that's the reason why earlier he was not named. He was named all these things. But now he's revealing the whole thing. I am Yahweh the Lord. I appeared to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. See the word El Shaddai? That's who I was, God Almighty. But I did not reveal my name Yahweh. It's incrementally growing. And now as we go into Exodus, all of a sudden you're going to see now another facet of God. The whole God now is going to show up. And this is not just about freeing the people. This is about me showing the world who I am and that I'm the God of all the gods. And I reaffirm my covenant with them. Under his terms, I promised to give them the land of Canaan where they were living as foreigners. Would you read that next few words with me? You can what? You can be sure. that I've heard their groans, the people of Israel, who are now slaves in Egypt. And I am aware of my covenant with them. Therefore, the people of Israel, say to the people of Israel, I will free you from your oppression, and I will rescue you from slavery in Egypt, and I will redeem you with my powerful what? Arm, my hand, my arm, and great acts of judgment. I will claim you as my own people. I will be your God, and then you will know I am the Lord your God. Let me just stop for a moment. Everybody look back right now real quick. Anybody, has God brought you out of anything that you wouldn't be here right now had God not moved? Sometimes you don't know how great he is until you look back and see what he's done. What has he done for you, sir? What has he done for your family? What has he done? You wouldn't know what you know now had you not looked back. He said, when you look back and you see all of this, you will know that I've always been faithful. You will know that I've never let you down. But you need to look back sometime, friends. And you need to see it and reclaim it again. And I will bring you into the land I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you as a very own possession. When I was growing up, we used to sing a song. And with these highs and lows that Moses was going in, I can imagine Moses, when he walked into God's presence after this had happened, everybody rejected him and said, I wish you had never come. You're causing more trouble than you're worth. You know, you're making things worse. What's wrong with you? And then I can imagine him being pretty low at that point. And I can imagine as the conversation with God starts, and he says, boy, look into my eyes. By the time you leave, I want you to understand who I am and the fact we've got this under control. And I can just watch Moses go through where he's very, very low until by the time he's finished meeting with God, he walks out of there. He says, I got this. Our Macy, when we first came, she had a, we'd go down and take our kids because we didn't have any money. We'd take them downtown to the medical university, to the dentist downtown. And so, you know, they're practicing on them, you know, and so we could get it real cheap. But it takes a long time. I mean, they sat in the chair for hours getting stuff done. So finally, as she got older, she got a phobia. By the time we'd mention Dennis, she'd go, oh, no, no, no. So I'll never forget when we couldn't tell her she was going to the dentist because she'd get all upset about it until the day of. So we told the doctor about it one time. The doctor said, that's not a problem. I got something I can give her. So give her this pill the night before and then give her this pill when she wakes up before she comes. So we were over in the Parsons over here, and so we told her we're going to the dentist, and she's she is just all distraught. And so I said, come here, sweetie, come here. The doctor gave me something to give you. So we gave her a pill. I don't know what it was. It was some fix-it pill. And so I never forget, Dean and I are sitting down in the living room. She walks across up, like going to the bedroom. This is about 20, 25 minutes afterwards. And all of a sudden, with the greatest confidence you've ever seen in your life, she looks over the rail and she says, I got this. I don't think it's going to be a problem tomorrow at all. She had no ideas of medication. I mean, she was great. And I can just see Moses after all this saying, I think we got this. And this is a song of the boy that we used to sing that sent that message to me. I felt like when I was in preparation for this that we needed to have just a quick ministry moment around this. Because there's every one of us has been at those places where, you know, we kind of get out of sync. We get our stuff mixed up with God's stuff. Somehow we reduce him down to much smaller than he is. Somehow, you know, his hand is not strong. It's like he's not involved. It was 430 years that had been in Egypt. And you can come to a lot of conclusions in 430 years about what's happening. And the enemy's job, by the way, is to sell you a lie. God's not involved. You're not his chosen people. God's not going to rescue you. He's not going to come through. Look at the time that's gone by. Look at what's happened. Things are worse than they were. All kinds of conclusions. I mean, most people think the biggest thing the enemy tries to do is get people to sin and do something terrible and it's wrong. That's not true. I don't need the devil for me to do something wrong. I can come up with it on my own. And yeah, you laugh because you're worse than I am. I mean, some of you. I mean, he don't need it. He don't. But here's what his job is. The Bible says he's the father of what? And his lies are, you're not my chosen. You remember when he sent Moses in? He said, you tell Pharaoh to let my people go. They belong to me. And friends, I want you to listen to me. If you're a Christ follower, you're a covenant man and a covenant woman. God has a promised land for you. He owns you. You belong to him. And that's what gives you the right to say, Satan, take your hands off of what belongs to God. I'm a God man, a God woman. My life is God. My future is God. Enemy, you do not handle all that stuff. God has a plan for my life, and it's good. And I'm going to follow him. But he wants to lie to you. And he'll say to you, he's forgotten about you. He bet he's not. So sometimes the weight will get twisted. And it's easy, it's easy to take responsibility for things that God never wanted you to take responsibility for. It's God's. You were never built to carry it. You were never even built to contemplate. God's outside of this world. When I say outside, I'm talking about his largeness. Obviously, he's in the world. He's everywhere. But he can handle this. So I want you to, with me, let's just do an exercise. If you don't need to pray this prayer, you can have a seat, and that's fine. But if you need prayer, stay standing, okay? Now, would you take your hands and just hold them in front of you and cuff them together like this? And would you imagine with me that whatever it is that you're carrying, our belief system that Dean was talking about, whatever it is, too much responsibility or whatever lie or whatever it is that somehow seems stressful or big for you, or would you hold it in your hand now? Just visualize it in your hand. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, we ask you to come, Holy Spirit. Would you bring an anointing in this place, an anointing to break the yoke, the lies of the enemy, the responsibilities that we're carrying that's not ours, that's yours. And we declare right now, you are God and we're not. We're your children, you're our Father, and we give you our burdens right now. Would you just lift them up as an offering and open your hands and just free them and let them go up to him. We give them to you now. They're yours. You take them. We're going to live as dependent children on you. Our future is great. It is good. You're God and you have great plans for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do is to have a seat just for a moment. And they're going to begin to pass the offering to guest service folks who are coming. And as they're passing, we're going to start singing. All right? Come on, guys. We need y'all to row because what I'm going to do is once the bucket gets past your row, if you can't stay seated, then you can stand, all right? So let's worship together as we give, all right?